Stuart Robert resigned last week in another headache for the Turnbull government after some murky circumstances around a private trip to China. It sparked all sorts of calls for a federal version of ICAC, the Independent Commission Against Corruption. While corruption in the union industry has been a big target for the coalition government, shouldn't corruption in all sectors be a focus too? The two major parties aren't exactly climbing over themselves to support the push made by Palmer United Party Senator Dio Wang. Why not? And how could political donations be made a bit more transparent? To explore this and more, we are joined by Dr. Peter Chen from Sydney University and one of our resident election nerds here on 2SER 107.3. Dr. Chen, good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you think? Would a federal version of ICAC be a good idea?
I think, well, it certainly would be a very popular idea. So ICAC and its similar entities around Australia, and there are similar entities in every state, though they do vary considerably in the way they operate, actually, are incredibly popular. People really like them. And that means they're also hard to kill. So if they sort of go off the rails or become problematic, it's very difficult to get rid of them. The arguments for a federal ICAC are, one, to kind of normalise the governance regime around the world, around Australia, so that the kind of similar institutions around. The kind of general thing about, you know, fighting corruption is sort of a good thing, and corruption can become endemic in some sorts of institutions. And I grew up in Queensland, which obviously had an endemic corruption problem throughout the entire political class at one stage. The kind of arguments against it are that they are sort of problematic in sort of the kind of traditional Westminster system. So they sit above the parliament. And as we sit in New South Wales, they've taken down a lot of parliamentarians and ministers and things like that. Well, parliament's supposed to be sovereign. And it's not sort of, you know, it's supposed to regulate itself to some degree. But more significantly, the argument against a federal ICAC is that the federal government doesn't actually do the sort of things that often are the target for corruption. So corruption, if you think about it, where does corruption kind of occur? It usually occurs in the issuing of things that the governments have to issue. Classic examples tend to have been people giving licenses corruptly to drive or to do all sorts of things that people aren't entitled to, the issuing of land and obviously developers and things like that in the New South Wales context has been extremely significant in terms of ICAC. But that's something that local governments and state governments do, right? It's not really something that federal governments do. And where federal governments get into the kind of land issuing thing, it's usually these kind of major projects sort of stuff. And they're usually pretty high profile. So the argument against a kind of federal ICAC is it's sort of not the level of government where you get that kind of direct benefit sort of thing that's given out. So sort of people say, you know, it sounds like a great idea, it's very popular, people intuitively think it's a good idea, but is it kind of a necessary institution, given they're incredibly difficult to get rid of, and if you're concerned about the intensification of bureaucracy and public money and red tape, yada, 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 and stuff like that. However, I mean, if we are talking about the regulation of kind of national institutions like unions, certainly the argument that you would create a special purpose body just to regulate one sort of institution and not others seems, you know, somewhat odd and unusual. Usually the creation of these sort of special purpose bodies or laws, and a good similar example would be the kind of Vlad anti-outlaw motorcycle laws, is that these institutions or organisations you're concerned with have such a kind of insidious or problematic structure that they require special or unusual techniques to fight crime within them. Outlaw motorcycle gangs, you know, it's kind of debatable, and I think we could have a debate about that. They are certainly very cliquey in resistance to penetration, but lots of criminal enterprises share that. Unions, I don't know, you know, it's sort of, you know, they're kind of public institutions. And why would you, you know, look for corruption in building unions and not look for the people who pay the corrupt payments, which are the developers and stuff like that? So it intuitively makes some degree of sense. We see today that the Labor Party is asking the Australian Federal Police to investigate the minister over whether he's used his position corruptly. So there is an example of a sort of claim that would be picked up under a kind of federal ICAC. But it also is the counter-argument too. So the Federal Police will investigate that. So it's not like this is a completely free of oversight sort of area. But the important thing, I guess, is that ICAC-like bodies often have a degree of powers that we can become concerned about, because they can have coercive powers, which is sort of not usual in the regular sort of law. And so we have to say, if we're going to bring down those special powers, particularly to compel the giving of evidence, which is, you know, fundamentally illiberal in its orientation, then we have to be concerned that the risks are so extreme. And Australia generally has a pretty good history with regards to corruption, and obviously anti-corruption bodies are part of that story. But do we have the sort of endemic corruption that requires kind of illiberal responses? So there's the debate, I think.
Yeah, and Attorney General George Brand has said that the Federal Police exists in that capacity to prosecute things like corruption. Do you think that enough is sort of being done in this area, that enough, the Federal Police have enough powers or enough oversight to sort of monitor this area closely?
Well, it's not necessarily... I don't think that's really the answer. I think the kind of thing is, because ICAC only deals with corruption, it spends a lot of its time focused on it, where the Federal Police, you know, it sort of internally decides what it's going to orient itself to. So the setting up of a special purpose body is, in a sense, a sort of public policy response saying we want to allocate this specific amount of time / money to this specific crime. And, you know, we do that in other areas. So, you know, historically, for example, lots of the states around Australia have had, like, transit police, and then at times they've rolled them back into regular policing.
Mm.
And usually they create them for a reason, like there's something specific about, you know, that they want to allocate at the political level a certain amount of attention to crime and transit, right? So that's no different to creating a body that, you know, specifically looks at, you know, one sort of crime over another. It could sit within a federal policing structure, it could sit without, but usually the reason it sits without is because it has this both investigation and quasi-judicial capacity, and that is the uniqueness of the ICAC type models. It's also the risk. Why do we keep the police and the judges separately? Why don't we have, you know, like Judge Dredd, you know, the judge and the police is, you know, what's your crime, citizen, you know, and we decide on the spot what your punishment's going to be. Well, there's a reason why we do that, isn't there?
Yeah.
If we applied the ICAC model to all policing, then civil libertarians would be up in arms. But the reason why we sort of get away with it is because they're targeting the, you know, the most despicable group of people in Australian society, and that is public officials and politicians.
All right. And speaking of, there's a lot of questions being asked around the timing of the election this year. Many people are saying it's September, October, November, but Malcolm Turnbull might be pulling the trigger before then. What do you think? When do you think we'll head to the polls this year?
Well, I think the thing to keep in mind is the very recent passage of the Senate Voting Reform Bill. So what that means is, I think, that we might see an election earlier than that, because it also means that any chance of collaboration with the crossbenchers is now over. The government has signalled that it's going to come down on the crossbenches and doesn't want them to exist anymore. So their motivation to collaborate with the government. So if the government waits till September, it's got 6 months of not getting any legislation that's controversial through the parliament. So I think it looks like we might be facing an earlier election if that legislation hadn't come up, because it had essentially been agreed in its basic form for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it hadn't been legislated, because as soon as it hit the ground, it would irritate the crossbenchers. With the exception of Nick Xenophon. So I think that points to an earlier rather than a later election, because it could have been passed at any time.
Mm.
So I think it's significant that it's passed now. We now have the reshuffle underway, so the government's sort of got its sort of ship in order, though today's polling may not indicate that. And so the ducks are in a row, I think, for an early election. The question is, will it be before or after the budget?
They're kind of running out of time, though, to get it in before the budget in May, though, aren't they?
Or? Well, they could go. I mean, you could do it today. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there are a number of kind of factors about, you know, getting various House and Senate, you know, in and out of alignment and things like that. If the Prime Minister and the Treasurer consider the financial situation of the state so apparent that they don't want to fight an election on a budget they bring in, well, they might go early and then bring in the horror budget straight after.
All right, there you go. A look at politics. Dr. Peter Chen from Sydney Uni and part of our election nerds coverage here on 2SERFM. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you.